With your Bibles open, would you turn to John's post-resurrection narrative, John chapter 20, 11 through 18. This is the story about Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. Very interesting story. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" As if Jesus didn't know. Thinking Jesus was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." Really? Mary. She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go instead to my brothers. Tell them I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. She's one of the first missionaries, and this was her message. "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord," she told them. And that he had said these things to her. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this Eastertide season. Thank you that the resurrection of Jesus is not just the end of the season, but the beginning of new life. And from this time, power pours forth, and your Spirit fills, and you lead us on mission and guide us to preach this good news. We have seen the Lord. And so, Lord, as we always pray, we ask that your Holy Spirit would give us eyes that see and ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through your word. And we give you thanks and praise in the name of our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, saying, amen. So this morning, third Sunday in the traditional season called Eastertide, right? The time that comes immediately after Easter. And it's good to continue along these themes, I think, because we forget and doubt. And that was the last two messages, really, right? The first one after Easter, Luke 24, Emmaus Road, people's tendency to forget about the truth of the resurrection. We saw that in that story. Last week, the Doubting Thomas passage, John 20, human tendency to doubt the resurrection of Jesus. And if we really think about it, in light of Mary Magdalene's story, are we really any different, right? Think about it. We talked about this in adult ed, but we live in a very fast-paced, chaotic world. The spirit, you could say, that characterizes our age among the ages of history, you could say, is a spirit of busyness, right? If we're really honest, we'd have to confess that we are utterly addicted to busyness in America. Right? And that once something has happened, instead of pausing and taking time to prayerfully remember what we have experienced, we clamor for the next thing. Right? Now that Easter Sunday is over, I think most people, including many Christians, are simply thinking, what's next? And this is kind of an issue. This is kind of a problem in our lives, right? We move from thing to thing without processing anything. How many of you ever taken a vacation that you were supposed to be restful and thoughtful and enjoy, and then you came home and you were utterly exhausted and you said, "I need a vacation from my vacation," right? This is unique to Americans. We are kind of nuts among the people of the world. And so we forget the purpose and power of Jesus' resurrection in our lives and how that really does change everything. That's why traditionally, historically, Christian churches linger over the events of Jesus' resurrection for another 40 days after Easter. That's what the gospel authors did. And they tell us any number of stories that talk about the resurrected Jesus' involvement, his interactions with his forgetful and doubting disciples and followers, both male and female. Now, after the resurrection story in John's gospel, that first Easter morning, we have an interesting story of Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene, right? Verses 11 through 18. And on that Easter Sunday, we found that Mary Magdalene had been one of the women who had come to the tomb of Jesus, crack of dawn, with aromatic spices that had been prepared. And that's a practical thing. What they thought that she would do is finish the burial preparations that were cut short because of the Sabbath. The spices would have masked the awful stench of decaying flesh that she thought she would experience in properly finishing the burial process of Jesus. But much to her surprise, Mary Magdalene found the stone rolled away. The mouth of the tomb was wide open, not containing the body of Jesus. That's what she had come fully expecting to see. Now, John gives us a detail that's really interesting, right? He implies that Jesus had actually folded his own grave clothes and made his own bed before he exited the tomb. Contrast that with Matthew's story of the Jewish leaders saying Jesus' body had been stolen. If you look at the history of grave robbing in the world, Egyptian tombs, other tombs, you'll notice that grave robbers never fold clothes. They get out of Dodge quickly. They take what they want and they leave. Jesus folded his own clothes, unlike most men, maybe, before he exited the tomb. I find that little detail like hilarious. John tells us that after Peter and another disciple, John, had run to see the empty tomb after the report of the women and had returned home, what did Mary do? She lingered at the empty tomb. She remained there. And if we compare that with other gospel accounts like Luke 24, right, tell us that when Mary Magdalene and the other woman reported that Jesus was alive, the disciples did not believe them, right? The disciples did not believe the women or understand what they were saying, which reminds me of the difficulty that men have had throughout history in understanding women. He is not going there. Yeah, I am kind of like the time. When a man was walking down a beach, but not in California, or maybe, walking down a beach, he found a brass lamp, and he was astonished, and he rubbed the lamp, and a genie came out and offered him to grant him a single wish. You know how this works. After careful thought, he said, "All my life I have wanted to visit Hawaii, but I'm deathly afraid of boats and airplanes. O genie of the lamp, I wish for you to build me a bridge from California to Hawaii." And the genie was astonished, absolute disbelief. He said, "Do you have any idea how much engineering and concrete that would require? Ask for something else." And after a long and thoughtful pause, the man replied, "Okay, how about this one? O genie of the lamp, can you please help me understand women? I don't understand their mysterious ways. Give me the ability to understand women." And the genie rubbed his head for a minute and he answered, "Okay, do you want 2 or 4 lanes for that bridge?" All right, seriously. Right, who is this woman, Mary Magdalene? Why was she such a devoted follower of Jesus Christ? She lingers, she weeps at the empty tomb. Everyone had gone home. She did not go home. This tells you something of her great love for the Lord Jesus. Now, we wish we knew more about this great woman of faith, but what can the scriptures and what can church history teach us about her, how she can be a spiritual model for all of us as followers of Jesus today? A little background. So when we search the Gospels, we find, first of all, that we have a problem. First of all, there's a lot of different Marys named, if you haven't noticed. Mary was a common name both then and now. It can be a little confusing, right? In addition to Mary Magdalene, there's Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Mary, the mother of James, as well as Jesus' own mother, Mary. Now, what is curious about Mary Magdalene, if we do a little detective work, is this, is she was not associated with a husband or a male child, but rather a town Interesting, right? She seems to have been neither married, nor did she have children. That would have been highly unusual in Jesus's day. Like Jesus himself, who was not married, that's very unusual back in that time. It happened, but not very often. The gospel authors tell us that she was from a town in Galilee called Magdala. And as Bible scholars combed through the historical sources, they found out this. Magdala in Jesus' day was a rather large city for its time, 40,000 people. Here's some of the ruins that remain today. It was inhabited mostly by non-Jewish people, and Mary would have been somewhat of a minority there. Sometimes we forget that in Jesus' day, there were Gentile towns throughout Israel because it was part of the Roman Empire, and people moved there for different reasons, right? Magdala, we find, if we read Jewish history, early history, had a very bad reputation among the Jewish rabbis as being a very licentious and immoral city. Kind of like what the Apostle Paul experienced with the Greek city of Corinth. And so here we find a woman named Mary, just putting the pieces together, right? Not associated with a husband or a male child, but from a place that was considered very immoral, a sexually loose city named Magdala. Now, to add to those saucy details, we find Mary Magdalene was traveling as a single woman with Jesus and his disciples among a group of married women. So if we go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, Luke tells us that Jesus had cured her and some other women from evil spirits and diseases, as we kind of saw in the video, and these women in turn provided for the needs of Jesus and his disciples out of their own means. What we sometimes miss are these little tiny comments that are rather insightful, that the group of women that was a part of Jesus' entourage, they're the ones that sort of bankrolled everything. Right? The disciples were not really paying out of pocket, it would seem. They're paying for expenses. They're cooking the food, all of this kind of thing. That's what would have happened out of their own means. Now, here's how that would work in this time. There's a reason for the little history lesson. The other women were clearly associated with husbands or sons who had money. Because remember, women typically did not work outside the home in Jesus' day. They were not wage earners. And to have the time and the freedom and the disposable income to support Jesus and his disciples, they would have to get it through their men at that time, or through an inheritance, or through less savory means. So here's the summation point. As part of the message, right? Mary Magdalene was neither married nor had a male child, nor was she associated with a deceased male who had bequeathed her a significant funds and inheritance and resources. And so the only other means outside of that income would usually come through prostitution. That's how it worked back then. That's why early Christians associated Mary Magdalene with prostitution before her becoming a follower of Jesus. Now again, to be fair, the Gospels don't directly say that she was a prostitute, but we know that Jesus had a frequent habit of hanging out with despised people, tax collectors, drunks, and prostitutes. And he was severely criticized for that at that time. You know, there's a reason why we call this church Mosaic, because it is like the bar in Mos Eisley, you know, in Star Wars. It's a collection of all kinds of different peoples, and I only know a part of it, but what I know... I know. That's the people Jesus associated with. And we get all kinds of crazy stories during the week and stuff, and which kind of reminds me of the time when a drunken man was weaving along the sidewalk at 3 a.m. in the morning with a missing shoe, and a police officer stopped him. To which the drunken sot said, "Good evening, officer. What's the trouble?" And the cop replied, "Well, aren't you in a fine state? Where are you going at this late hour? It's 3 a.m. To which the inebriated fellow answered, "I'm headed to a lecture." "Lecture? Yes, in a few minutes I'm going to receive a lecture on the evils of drinking, gambling, and staying up at all hours of the evening. And he was like, what? And the officer did not believe this man, kind of like the disciples didn't believe Mary. And the police officer said, I don't believe you for a New York minute. Where could you be possibly going this late at the night where you're going to get a lecture and seeing that you're in this particular condition? To which the plastered patron said, I'm going to get it from my wife. Lecture's coming, and he deserves it. Right? And so we're told that when Mary Magdalene was at the tomb of Jesus on that first Easter morning, she wept for Jesus who had cured her from demonic spirits, from disease, from probably a dark life of selling her body for money. No wonder Mary Magdalene loved Jesus more than most other people. Have you thought about that? Verse 12, when through her tears she saw two angels sitting where Jesus' body had previously laid, it must have come as a shock, because they seemed, did you notice the angels seem a little surprised at Mary? Like, well, geez, Mary, why are you crying? Right? Maybe they didn't realize that Mary hadn't got the memo yet. I don't know. I'm filling in blanks, right? Where have they taken the body of the one who has saved me in every possible way that a person could be saved? I don't know where they have taken him. She's just thinking, well, I want to get the body back so I can prepare it and honor Jesus in his death. And then John tells us that she turned around only to find that no one had carried off Jesus after all, but she was distraught. Notice she did not recognize Jesus. Right? Just like those two men on the Emmaus Road, Luke 24, we talked about a couple weeks ago. Again, the problem was that Mary Magdalene, like the others, had forgotten the most important message of Jesus, right? That he had to die and be resurrected from the dead. I'm sure Mary, like other disciples, remembered Jesus' parables, his mighty miracles, insightful sayings. But she failed to realize that all of those things pointed to the empty tomb. She had to be reminded by angels and then also by the risen Jesus himself, right? Notice even Jesus' questions to her, she hadn't quite gotten it yet, right? Jesus asked the same question as the angels, why are you crying? But notice how the second question is humorously playful. Jesus says, who are you looking for? As if he didn't know. Right? Remember when Jesus walks with the two guys on the Emmaus Road, Luke 24, and they're talking, he said, who are you talking about? Don't tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor, right? What's funnier, I think, as alluded to earlier, Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' most devoted followers, so distraught, she actually mistook the resurrected Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for the humble gardener. Now, back in the day, gardeners, it was a humble sort of thing. They weren't wealthy. They made the flowers and plants grow, but they were not high-status people. Jesus thought, Mary thought, oh, this guy's the gardener. It's the resurrected Lord. Don't tell me. Why are we so astonished as Christians that Jesus is so funny? Right? I mean, many Christians, I mean, you know, they hardly ever laugh. It's like they're sucking on a lime. It's like, don't you know Jesus is raised from the dead? Smile, please. Enough of the frozen chosen stuff. This kind of reminds me of the time when a man went to visit his friend and was so amazed, like the early followers, amazed to find a man playing chess with his dog. The man watched the game in sheer and utter astonishment for a while, and the man said, I can hardly believe my eyes. That's the smartest dog I've ever met in my entire life. And his friend replied, oh, he's not so smart. I've beaten him three out of five games. What's your perspective? What are you paying attention to? It was only when Jesus lovingly called Mary's name in verse 16 that she recognized the one who had saved her from demonic oppression, disease, and a dark life of prostitution, right? She actually responds to him in a special Aramaic term. NIV, I think, misses it a little bit. Instead of the normal rabbi, she says Rabboni, which really has to do with the nuance of it's not just teacher, it's my teacher. my teacher. She recognizes finally. Mary Magdalene, who out of love for Jesus, she wanted to grab hold and hug. Jesus says, my work's not done yet, right? I'm going to return to my Father in heaven. And what does he do? He commissions Mary for the special work of missions, right? One could easily say that Mary Magdalene was one of the first missionaries entrusted to taking the good news of Jesus to others. In this case, his forgetful, handpicked disciples. What was her message? It was simply this, five words, I have seen the Lord. We are called as Christians to give witness to what God has done in our lives, not to hide away the truths because out of fear, right, like the disciples, but rather to share them. It also begs the question of who can God use for his kingdom purposes? If you listen to many Christians, I should say, they would say, well, unless you get your life cleaned up, unless you do this, unless you do that, you're not worthy. Last time I checked, none of us were worthy, right? And yet he commissions us to do these things. Sometimes we say here at Mosaic Church, come as you are, like the song that we just sang. We love that Crowder song. Come as you are. Here's our prayer that you don't leave as you were. Amen? That's what we're interested in because we believe Jesus is able. You know, what does God have for you? Well, I can't be a missionary. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are commissioned and called to be a missionary. Who are those people you can share your life with? Serve. Like St. Francis of Assisi said, at all times and all places, preach the gospel. And remember the second part of that? And use words as necessary. Is your life so full of Jesus that people can discern the resurrected Lord? How can you serve and love people in simple, humble ways? And there are people you can reach that wouldn't give me the time of day, I assure you. You want to wreck a perfectly good conversation out in public? And what do you do, Jim? Well, I'm a pastor. And it's gone, but you don't have that problem. Right? I think there are several important things about this post-resurrection story of Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene that's worth noting, right? And applying. Why? Because we, like the original disciples, so easily forget and doubt the most important things. Here's a few takeaway points that I've derived from this passage. First of all, Mary Magdalene reminds us that the risen Jesus has power and he loves to release us from spiritual darkness. He loves to heal. Did you know that Jesus's healing is yes, it's for your spirit, your internal well-being. But have you considered that Jesus can heal bodies? He can heal emotions. He can heal your mind as well. Have you gone to him for that healing? Luke 8:2 says this, Jesus released Mary Magdalene from clear demonic oppression, healed her from some undisclosed disease. Just asking the questions, given the strong possibility that she was a prostitute, could Jesus have healed Mary Magdalene from an STD? You did not say that in church. I said that in church. Jesus has the power. That's not very nice. Well, sin's not very nice, right? That's why we're here. Aren't you here for some healing? Is it just me, right? Yeah. Thank you, Melissa. Somebody, here we go. Number two takeaway point. Mary Magdalene reminds us that the risen Jesus has power and he loves to be present in my life, in your life, and to comfort us and wipe away our tears. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus says, but be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world. Right? You will have trouble, but Jesus comforts us, right? The book of Revelation says the day is coming when he will wipe away every tear. No more tears. How about that? Right? Wow. Remember that Jesus has a great sense of humor. He lovingly calls out Mary. When Mary heard Jesus speak her name, that's when she recognized him. Is Jesus calling your name today? There's that great little devotional by Sarah Young, Jesus Calling, kind of winsome. Jesus is calling your name, and she's comforted. Her tears are joyfully ended. God's word says, tears may cometh for the night, but what? Joy cometh in the morning. Point three, Mary Magdalene reminds us that the risen Jesus has power and he loves to commission and use the most unlikely people for his divine purposes, right? Jesus has a special heart of compassion for the lost, the broken, and the hurting. That's why we started this church, right? Jesus called a group of uneducated fishermen, angry zealots, tax collectors, and in Mary's case, former prostitutes to be his special followers and witnesses in this fallen world. Again, it begs the question, who can God use for his honor and glory? Even you, even me, right? Wow. Number four, finally, Mary Magdalene reminds us that the risen Jesus has power and loves to commission us to be his powerful witnesses. We are to proclaim the Easter truths like Mary Magdalene. And here's one of the most basic proclamations. I've seen the Lord. Have you shared that with people? I know Jesus, and I bet he wants to come into your life too. I don't know what that would look like, how you would put that to your unsaved friends or those who are struggling, or be the hands and feet of people struggling and do it in his name. That's why Mosaic, we have it right by the door. If you haven't noticed, one of our favorite mottos is to be a Christian people who are radically loving, radically giving, and radically forgiving. I can't think of a better example of that than Mary Magdalene. Wow. Powerful, powerful reminder that to us on this third Sunday of Eastertide. Wait a minute. Jesus can actually take prostitutes and make them spiritual virgins again? Yeah. Yeah, he just proved that, right? Jesus can take your wayward heart and make it faithful again? Yeah, he can. If Jesus can do that, what will you trust him for your own life today, right? In your own family, your neighbors, whoever who are in desperate need of Jesus, what will you believe Jesus for today? And how will you tell others like Mary? Look, I don't know much, but I've seen the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you turn the world's systems on its head. The prince of this world, Satan, says, oh, no, power rules, control and authority. But you say, Jesus, you say, I come to sacrifice my life for you. I come to wash your feet. I come to give you an example of what leadership really looks like in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm showing you how you can serve too. Lord, we just thank you for that truth. We thank you for the awesome example of Mary Magdalene. If you can use this woman powerfully, you can use us too. What good news. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for the example of Mary Magdalene, a woman who loved you deeply. May we love you as Mary loved you, and we pray this in your name, Jesus. We love you, saying amen.